Section 3, Republican Rule. An American Story. On a moonlit December night in the late 1860s, Essek Harris, a formerly enslaved man, woke suddenly after hearing loud noises outside his small home in Chatham County, North Carolina. He peered out his bedroom window, and a wave of terror rushed over him. 30 men in white robes and hoods stood around the house. Many held shotguns. They were members of the Ku Klux Klan, an organization that used violence and intimidation to force African Americans and white Republicans out of Southern politics. They had come to harass Harris, who was active in local politics. As Klan members began firing shotgun blasts at his home, Harris pushed his family into a corner and grabbed his own shotgun. He rushed to the front door and fired back, then shouted to one of his children, "Boy, bring my five-shooter!" Harris had no such gun, but his bluff worked. The Klan members cursed Harris and rode off, but they would return. They continued harassing Harris until he abandoned his home and moved to another county. Adapted from The Fiery Cross. Republican Rule in the South. By late 1870, all of the former Confederate states had rejoined the Union under the Congressional Reconstruction Plan. Throughout the South, the Republican Party took power and introduced several major reforms. Most white Southerners scorned the Republicans, however, partly because the party included Northerners and African Americans. Southerners also believed the Union Army had forced the new Republican governments on them. Carpetbaggers and scalawags. As Reconstruction began, many Northerners moved to the South. Quite a few were eventually elected or appointed to positions in the South's new state governments. Southerners, particularly Democratic Party supporters, referred to these newcomers as carpetbaggers because some arrived with suitcases made of carpet fabric. Many local residents viewed the Northerners as intruders seeking to exploit the South. Some carpetbaggers did seek to take advantage of the war-torn region. Others, however, hoped to find more opportunities than existed for them in the North and West. Some simply wanted to help. Many Northern school teachers, for example, moved South to help educate whites and African Americans. While many Southerners despised carpetbaggers, they also disliked white Southerners who worked with the Republicans and supported Reconstruction. They called these people scalawags, an old Scotch-Irish term for weak, underfed, worthless animals. The scalawags were a diverse group. Some were former Whigs who had grudgingly joined the Democratic Party before the war. Many were owners of small farms who did not want the wealthy planters to regain power. Still others were business people who favored Republican plans for developing the South's economy. African Americans enter politics. Thousands of formerly enslaved people also took part in governing the South. Having gained the right to vote, African Americans quickly began organizing politically. You never saw people more excited on the subject of politics than are the African Americans of the South, wrote one plantation manager. At first, African American leaders in the South came from those who had been educated before the war. These included artisans, shopkeepers, and ministers. Many had lived in the North and fought in the Union Army. Helped by the Republican Party, these African Americans delivered speeches to former plantation workers, drawing them into politics. Within a few remarkable years, African Americans went from enslaved workers to legislators and administrators on nearly all levels of government. Hundreds of formerly enslaved people served as delegates to state constitutional conventions. They also won election to numerous local offices, from mayor to police chief to school commissioner. Dozens of African Americans served in Southern state legislatures, while 14 were elected to the House of Representatives and 2 to the Senate. With formerly enslaved people making such political gains, many Southerners claimed that black republicanism ruled the South. Such claims, however, were greatly exaggerated. No African American was ever elected governor. In South Carolina, where African Americans made up a majority of the population, they did achieve a majority in the legislature, but it lasted for only one legislative term. African Americans participated in government, but they did not control it. The Republican Party took power in the South because it also had the support of a large number of white Southerners. Poor white farmers who resented the planters and the Democratic Party that dominated the South before the Civil War often joined with African American voters to elect Republicans. Republican reforms in the South. The newly elected Republican governments in the South quickly instituted a number of reforms. They repealed the black codes and made many more state offices elective. They established state hospitals and institutions for orphans, the hearing and visually impaired, and the mentally ill. They rebuilt roads, railways, and bridges, and provided funds for the construction of new railroads and industries in the South. They also established a system of public schools. The Republican reforms did not come without cost. Many state governments were forced to borrow money and to impose high property taxes to pay for the repairs and new programs. Many property owners, unable to pay these new taxes, lost their land. Although many Republicans wanted to help the South, others were corrupt. One Republican governor admitted accepting more than $40,000 in bribes. Graft, or gaining money illegally through politics, was common in the South, just as it was in the North at the time, but it gave Southern Democrats another issue that would help them regain power in the 1870s. Reading check. Summarizing. What three groups helped elect Republicans in the South during Reconstruction? African American communities. In addition to their efforts on the political stage, African Americans worked to improve their lives in other ways during Reconstruction. Many sought to gain an education and establish their own thriving communities. A desire to learn. Once they were freed, many African Americans wanted to get an education. In the first years of Reconstruction, the Freedmen's Bureau, with the help of Northern charities, established schools for African Americans across the South. By 1870, some 4,000 schools and 9,000 teachers, half of them African American, taught 200,000 formerly enslaved people of all ages. In the 1870s, Reconstruction governments built a comprehensive public school system in the South, and by 1876, about 40% of all African American children, roughly 600,000 students, attended school in the region. Several African American academies offering advanced education also began operating in the South. These academies grew into an important network of African American colleges and universities, including Fisk University in Tennessee and Atlanta University and Morehouse College in Georgia. Churches and social organizations. With the same determination they showed in pursuing an education, formerly enslaved people across the South worked to establish their own churches. Religion had long played a central role in the lives of many African Americans, and with the shackles of slavery now gone, the building of churches quickly began. Churches served as the center of many African American communities as they housed schools and hosted social events and political gatherings. In rural areas, church picnics, festivals, and other activities provided residents with many of their recreational and social opportunities. In many communities, churches often acted as unofficial courts by promoting social values, settling disputes among residents, and disciplining individuals for improper behavior. African Americans also established thousands of other organizations to help and support each other. These organizations ranged from burial societies and debating clubs to drama societies and trade associations. Reading check. Examining. How did education for African Americans change during Reconstruction? Southern resistance. At the same time these changes were taking place, African Americans faced intense resentment from many Southern whites. Many Southerners also despised the black Republican governments, which they believed vindictive Northerners had forced upon them. The Ku Klux Klan. Unable to strike openly at the Republicans running their states, some Southerners organized secret societies. The largest of these groups was the Ku Klux Klan. Started in 1866 by former Confederate soldiers in Pulaski, Tennessee, the Klan spread rapidly throughout the South. Its goal was to drive out the Union troops and carpetbaggers and regain control of the South for the Democratic Party. Hooded, white-robed Klan members rode in bands at night, terrorizing supporters of the Republican governments. They broke up Republican meetings, drove Freedmen's Bureau officials out of their communities, burned African American homes, schools, and churches, and attempted to keep African Americans and white Republicans from voting. Republicans and African Americans formed their own militia groups and fought back. As the violence perpetrated by both sides increased, one African American organization sent a report to the federal government asking for help. We believe you are not familiar with the description of the Ku Klux Klan's riding nightly over the country, going from county to county, and in the county towns spreading terror wherever they go by robbing, whipping, ravishing, and killing our people without provocation. We pray you will take some steps to remedy these evils. From the records of the U.S. Senate 42nd Congress. The Enforcement Acts. The Ku Klux Klan's activities outraged President Grant and congressional Republicans. In 1870 and 1871, Congress passed three enforcement acts to combat the violence in the South. The first act made it a federal crime to interfere with a citizen's right to vote. The second put federal elections under the supervision of federal marshals. The third act, also known as the Ku Klux Klan Act, outlawed the activities of the Klan. Local authorities and federal agents acting under the enforcement acts arrested more than 3,000 Klan members throughout the South. Southern juries, however, convicted only about 600, and fewer still served any time in prison. Reading check. Describing. Why did Congress pass the enforcement acts?